love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Shine the bright. If you know the Lord, you'll need nobody else to see you through the darkest night. Number 31. It's an if. If you know the Lord, for me. Number 17. And then I'll open in prayer for our afternoon service. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know Precious Lord Jesus, we're so very grateful, Lord, that you chose us before the foundation of the world. You caused us to be sons and daughters of yours. It wasn't our choice. We just acknowledge the fact that you did it. We love you, Lord, and we just ask that you be with us this afternoon. And help us, Lord, to understand what was being spoken this morning and also what will be spoken this afternoon. Cause us to rejoice in the fact that the Lord has everything in control. Sometimes we can seem to be amiss with what's happening, but Lord, help us to believe and to wait upon the Lord in everything that we say, do, think. Cause us to be a testimony wherever we go. We love you, Lord. We're here to worship you, and we're so very grateful for that. We just ask you to be with us service now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand and sing number 58, As I Walk the Road of Life, My Feet Grow Weary. As I walk the road of life, my feet grow weary. As I spurn them through the cold and shifting sand, but I never 116, Wondrous Love of God to Me. Nice to see my natural sister here. Hi, stranger, and your friend, is it?
Leah.
Pleased to meet you, Leah. You're welcome anytime. Wondrous love of God to me. Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Then I'll ask Merle and Shirley if you'll bring the item to us. Thank you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead in you dwell in you. Surely, as they bring this item and song.
My wicked spite.
Telling them that so they can get younger every day. You know, the day's coming where they're going to be younger, like us all. Well, our brother's not here yet, so we'll just sing. Oh, I didn't know about that. You've got a. Oh, we'll have it now, Brother Pezza. Sorry, I didn't realise that someone hadn't told me.
Singing this song last week, but there was a special request. By the way, I have the majority of feeling that we all worship together, and the chorus really digs deep into our spirit all together.
My soul.
thou Satan should profit if straws should come. Let this bless the children's control.
Oh.
the Tongan family. It's Lita and Amalia and Pisa. Oh, bless you. Let's stand and sing 167, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And then Brother Thaddeus will be coming, I guess.
I'm a part of the family of
that you can better it than what you had this morning, but we'll listen.
Well, the Lord is good.
God bless you, Ryan.
Anyway,
I'll take
God bless you again this evening. It was a nice time here this morning, and thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity that I could just speak to you as the Lord would lead. Amen. We just want to give you greetings again from back home in Louisville, and just like to maybe sing a song. We didn't practice this one. Do you have in your songbook, Precious Lord, Take My Hand? Do you have that one? The key of G. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on. Do you know the verses? Do you know them, brother? You know the verses? Go ahead. Go ahead, sing them. Go ahead. I don't know them all. You sing them. You don't know it? That's all right. Do you have it? He don't have it. Okay, that's fine. Let's sing that chorus again. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night,
my way. Most dear, precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. When at the river I stand, precious Lord, take my hand, take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Let me stand and over me, I sing because I'm happy. Yes, I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. Yes, I know he watches over me. Do you know that tonight? Amen. He watches over us. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. It's good to sing about the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity once again to be gathered together, Lord. We just enjoyed, Lord, fellowshipping around the Word, the Scriptures that we read this morning, Lord. And thank you for the beautiful lunch. And Lord, may you bless all those that had a part in that, Lord. Thank you for this little church, this little lighthouse, oh God, here in Gisborne, oh God. I pray you'll bless this place of gathering and worship, Lord. God, that everyone that would come here, Lord, would leave closer drawn to you. Bless Brother Howard and Sister June and the pastor here, Lord, that you would just anoint him and give him fresh inspiration each time he would come to the pulpit, Lord. And bless the congregation, Lord, Brother Lee and all those that would have part in service in this place. Lord God, may it be that lighthouse to shine out in this dark time, Lord. And Lord, I pray you'll bless your word again tonight, Lord. Just inspire something for this evening, Lord, that we would just hold it in our hearts, Lord, that draw us closer to you, we pray, and help us to be ready for your soon coming. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just want to read a short word here tonight in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Sorry about that, Brother Howard. Sometimes we don't get all the keys right, but that's okay. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read here, starting at verse 8. It's easier to get to it when you have the computer, but I have to turn the pages. So if you have a Bible, you have to turn the pages with me. All right, let's start reading verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit on all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. And in John chapter 12, verse 35, as it comes to my thoughts now, and I feel led to read it. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while the light is with you, walk while ye have the light. Walk while ye have the light. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Oh, hallelujah. I can remember when Brother Red Searle came to our little church there in Louisville, and I'll never forget it. I was just young boy, probably 10 years or less, and he turned off all the lights in the building, and he had a flashlight, and he turned it on, and he was preaching about walking in the light, and he just held the light up, and he just said, You just have to walk in the light. Where the light moves, you walk in that light. Amen. The Bible says that we are children of the light. Jesus came and he says, I am the light of the world. And then in another place he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, but it shines out through the world that it can give light. Amen. And God has given us light in this day. You know, in the book of Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says that there would come a time in the earth that would be like a day where there's not day, where it's not day or night, but it's kind of a time where it's sort of dismal, where it's a mixture. And in the book of Revelations, we've heard and heard taught about the horse riders, and that last horse was a pale horse. It was the red, the white, and the black all mixed up into one. Brother Brown said it was like a grisly, sickly looking thing. And here a few months ago, we had an eclipse that came across. Maybe you read about it or you heard about it, but it was the first eclipse since, I think several hundred years, long time, that only touched the continent U.S., the continental U.S., starting all the way from the West Coast, finishing all the way to the East Coast, just going straight across the middle. It came right across the middle, right across the state of Kentucky, where God sent a little prophet one day that brought light. But came this great darkness, and the path of totality, as the moon covered the sun, the darkness came right across the state of Kentucky. And I was standing there with Britta. We went out of the house, and where we were in Jeffersonville, Indiana, would you believe it? But there was just a little light at the top left where we were in Jeffersonville, and the path of complete darkness went right over the place almost precisely where Brother Branham was born, near Burkesville, Kentucky. But in Jeffersonville, there was just a little bit of light there. And when Brother Branham preached the church ages and the Holy Spirit came down in the Branham Tabernacle there on 8th and Penn Street in Jeffersonville, Indiana, when he preached these church ages, he said God drew it out in the skies, and he said the pictures were taken and put in the newspaper. And in the building in that church in the Branham Tabernacle in 8th and Penn in Jeffersonville, Indiana, when he preached that, he talked about the seven church ages, how that throughout time God had these ages and there was a messenger to each age. And the Holy Spirit came down in the Branham Tabernacle on the back wall of the building and drew out those circles of the each age. And the last age, he said when he drew it, he put a little light, but he said when God drew it, it was total blackness, total darkness, because that's the day that we live in, as we can read in the Bible and have understanding of these things, that we are living in the time of total darkness. And Zechariah said that there would come this day, but he said in the evening time there shall be light. You can read it in Zechariah 14. And God has given us light in this day. It's the same light that Jesus Christ had. God has sent his light in this day to shine upon us. Why? Brother Branham said in the message, recognizing your day, that God, as we spoke this morning, God put a seed in you. God put part of him inside of you. Now, if you have a seed, the only way it can grow is it has to have the sunlight. So if you live in an age of total darkness, those seeds could not grow unless God sent light to shine upon your life to bring that to life. And God has sent us light in this day, as He promised He would through the prophet Malachi, that He would send the Spirit of Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And I thank God that He sent a prophet in this day to take the Bible, simply put as this, to open it up and to shine the light on the Word of God, as if you were sitting in a dark room and God opened the Scriptures and you couldn't see, but He turned on a light that you could read and understand what is written. Amen. And all the things that have been scribbled up and the things that have been twisted throughout time, God has revealed everything in this day to give us complete understanding of what the Bible says, that we might have salvation, that we might have victory, that we might be coming to a place that God could bear fruit through our life, that we wouldn't be in darkness, but the light would produce something in you and me. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. The things that were all messed up, but God just brought great clarity. The oneness of the Godhead. Amen. That there's not three individual persons of God. You know, the Trinitarian Church preaches that God exists in three separate and distinct persons. If that were the case, you'd have God the Father saying, God the Son, you go down and you die for those people. Incredible. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that God became flesh. Amen. In John chapter 1, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same Word that said, let there be light. That Word created a body and created a seed form in Mary. And God stepped into that body. The Spirit of God, they say the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost, all that was God, stepped into that body and became Christ. That is the greatness of Christ coming. Wasn't that there was a Father up in heaven looking down at the Son. No, it was that the Father became the Son. Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Everlasting Father, who is speaking of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have a complete understanding of God became flesh. Amen. And that same God sent His Spirit into you and me. Oh, praise God. So we wouldn't be baptized in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But if we said this evening, who's a father? You could raise your hand. I'm a father. But I also have a father, so I'm a son. And I also have a life because I'm living, I'm moving. So I have a spirit in me. Praise God. So what is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? It's but one, Jesus Christ. He is the Father. He was the Son. It was the life of God, the Spirit inside of Him. So the Bible says that we must be baptized in His name. Amen. And in that name there is remission of sins, removal of the sin curse. Praise God. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What a wonderful understanding. And that the Holy Ghost, it's not some emotion, but it's the very life of Jesus Christ that comes into the believer. So much so that if God's life dwells in us, the very things that Jesus did, we will do. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Amen. You will heal the sick by the laying on of hands, the Bible says. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've seen it happen. Praise God. We were in Romania. Brother came forward. He had a problem with his eyes. We laid our hands on him. We prayed for him. We went out to dinner. We just sat around a table after the meeting. And he's sitting there here and I'm sitting here. And we begin to eat. And he says, Vindicat, Vindicat. I said, what does that mean? I'm healed. I'm healed. He said, God healed him right there at that moment. God took the problem right away from him. We've seen God heal cancer. We've seen God do miracles. Why? Because it's this same Jesus, Peter said, that you crucified is now alive. Amen. They tried to put him in the grave. They couldn't keep him. He ascended into heaven. They thought, oh wow, now he's disappeared. No, he came back in the power of the apostles. What is it? It's the same God that's living today. God sent us a ministry that the dead were raised. The blinded eyes were opened. Amen. Praise God. We've seen it happen even in my time. We've seen God do miracles. Oh, He's still a miracle working God. I think it was even last time that I came here, God healed a woman and she no longer used the medication. Is that right, Brother Howard? We've seen God heal cancer and God do miracles. Why? Because He's still alive. What a wonderful thing that God has given us light to understand that we aren't just aimlessly roaming in the world, but God knew us before the foundation of the world, and He came to redeem us. What does redeem mean? But to bring back to our original position. Where were we? In His mind, we were perfect, without sin, and God came to restore us back. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah! That we will experience a body change if God's Spirit dwells in us. What? The Bible says in Corinthians 15 that this mortal shall put on immortality. That God has a body already waiting for us that we will step into that doesn't know death, that doesn't know sickness. If we have hope only in this life, Paul said we're but miserable, but we have a body prepared for us. God has gone to prepare a place for us. What is it? It's light. You can walk in it. You can walk in baptism in Jesus' name. You can walk in predestination of God. You can walk in knowing that you're going to have a body change. And you can walk in knowing that though we live in a dark time, God has sent His light. Oh, praise God. It's so exciting. And if you've never heard more about it, just get a hold of this brother right here and he'll give it to you. He'll give you sermon upon sermon and you can hear what God has done in this day. It's an amazing, incredible thing. And Jesus said that while you have light, believe in the light. Believe in the light. Hallelujah. Let me just go back there. I'm reading. I think it was in John 18. John 12, he said, yet a little while the light is with you, walk ye while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. And while we have light, if we don't take hold and if we don't value that light and walk in that light, then darkness will come. The Bible says that because they received not a love for the truth, that their hearts, their minds were turned over to reprobate minds, that they would believe a lie and not believe the truth. Because the devil's got a lie. He's never stopped preaching his lie. All he does is he changes the packaging. He packages it a different way, but the light of God pierces through the darkest night. And the Bible says that Jesus said if we walk, we must believe in the light. We must walk in the light. Why? Because if we entertain other things, then the devil brings his lie around. Hey man, it's no time to entertain these things that the devil has to offer, but just say, Lord, sincerely in my heart, I want to know the truth. I want to walk in the truth. I want to believe your word. Every idea that I may have, may it come in line with the word of God. Just show me what I must do. It reminds me of a place when Peter came out of that upper room and he was preaching, and the men and brethren, their hearts were pricked, and they said, now we heard this, that there were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's been a question throughout ages that when people hear the word of God preached, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. What does repent mean? It means to turn away from your own ideas, from the way you're walking, and say, Lord, I surrender. I repent of my sin, of my failure, of my wrongdoings, Lord, and I want to walk in your way. Like the sister sang tonight, there's a highway that God has a way that you can walk in. It doesn't matter what way you're walking, God's got a way for you to walk. There's a little story. It goes like this. It said, man walks down the road, chapter 1. He sees a pit. He falls into the pit forward. Chapter 2, man walks down the road. He sees the pit. He steps over the pit and falls in backwards. Chapter 3, the man walks down the road. He sees a pit. He steps to the right and falls into the pit to the left. Chapter number 4, man walks down the road, sees a pit. He steps to the left and falls into the right. Chapter 5, man takes another road. And that's the way it is in our life. So many times we're trying the same thing over and over and over again and keep falling into the same pit. But God's got more for you tonight. God's got a light that He wants you to walk in that'll lift you to a place where you've never been before. Amen. If we had tonight, if we said you could go through this door right here, and on the other side of that door is the richest diamonds that you've ever seen, the most pure gold that you've ever touched, and the most beautiful pearls that man could ever look upon, would you want to stay here? No, you'd want to go through that door. And Jesus said, I am the door. You're the sheep, and I'm the door. He said, you come in and out, and you find pasture. God's got a door, and He wants you to walk through it tonight. He wants you to walk in the light and feed upon His word and feed upon His light. The devil's got so much to offer, but what God has to offer is light. God has to offer eternal life. God has to offer victory and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. It means the removal of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. That is you and me, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. I just dropped that in there this evening. But we read here this verse, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. We referenced it this morning, but in the book of Peter, he said that in the last days there would come scoffers saying, where is the promise of His coming? 2 Peter 3, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overflowed, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He says, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. God is not slack concerning His promise. What is His promise? In the book of John, chapter 14, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you. Praise the Lord. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Surely I come quickly. Amen. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is a promise from God. He said, I will come again. In the book of Acts chapter 1, when the apostles were all gathered around and Christ was about to ascend into heaven, the Bible says that he instructed them and taught them, told them that the power of the Holy Ghost was going to come upon them. And they'd receive power to be witnesses throughout all the earth. And just after he said these things, the Bible says that he was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. And when they stood around looking up into heaven, the Bible says that two men stood by and said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. God is going to return. He came once and he's coming back. He came once to redeem. He's coming back to completely finish redemption work. Not that there's something unfinished, but complete redemption is the changing of these bodies, and we will experience a body change, those who have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. Praise the Lord. And God is coming again. And you know, there's doctrine going around that he won't return in a flesh body, but my Bible says that this same Jesus is going to come back in like manner as you see him. The Bible says that we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going to fulfill that scripture. Amen. We read about in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We have an understanding of what that was, but that was a message that has already come in this day. So God has sent a message already, and the next thing is a voice of the archangel, which is to wake the sleeping dead. And then, what does it say? With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, think about that little part there, and then we which are alive and remain. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise God. The dead are going to be changed. The living will be changed. But we're not all going to sleep. There will be some who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. You know, when Jesus came in the book of John chapter 5, verse 38, he said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have the words of eternal life. He said, these right here are they which testify of me. You know, in this day we could say the same thing. There's a scripture written here. They which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. I say, Lord, somebody's going to fulfill that scripture. The Bible says that the wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. We can see the time that we're living in, and we can discern the scripture and say, Lord, that applies to me. Praise the Lord. You know, in the book of Daniel, the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied that Israel would be carried into Babylon, and after 70 years were accomplished, then they would return to Jerusalem. And so Daniel was living throughout that time of that 70 years. And the Bible says in Daniel 9, let me just get there. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, Daniel served through four different kings. He said, in the first year of his reign, I understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel was studying the books that were written, the prophecies of the prophet Jeremiah, and by reading the Bible that he had in his day, the prophet's word, right? By reading that, those prophetic writings of Jeremiah, he knew and he was confident that something was going to happen after 70 years, that they were going to return to Jerusalem. And so the Bible says that he understood by the books. We have a book right here that we can read and understand. And Paul told Timothy, he said here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The Bible makes us wise. The Bible gives us wisdom. The Bible tells us everything we need to know. We don't need to read the newspaper to know what's going to happen. We can read the Bible to know what's going to happen. We can hear the Word of God. God that came in this day and know what's going to happen. God knows the end from the beginning, and God shared it with us in this day. He told us what would happen. He told us all the things that would happen in this day, even up to the ending of the tribulation and the millennium and the setting up of New Jerusalem and all these things. You can read it, study it for yourself. I'm not here to preach it, but God showed us what would happen. And we can understand by the writings of the Scripture that we're living in the last day. Hey man, we were talking about it at lunch, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I just turned to Matthew chapter 24. And when Jesus was speaking, they asked him the questions about the sign of the end time and what would happen and so forth. And Jesus began to tell them about the things that would happen, the wars and rumors of wars and great earthquakes in diverse places and all those sorts of things. And so he began to share the signs of the end time. But he said here, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. There verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And he certifies the statement by saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Is that what your Bible says in Matthew 24:35? And so what is he speaking about? He's speaking about this time of the end. And if we just go here up a few verses to verse 21. He said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Great tribulation, he says, that has never been since the beginning of the world. No, nor ever shall be. And he speaks a parable. Notice how he says it. He says, this is a parable, not a literal thing of the fig tree, but he says it's a parable of the fig tree. And we have an understanding through God's prophet that that fig tree represents the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation that God called his chosen people. And we are his chosen people by faith. They were his chosen people by the lineage of Abraham. But there has never been a nation. You know this. It's common understanding. There's never been a nation on all the face of the earth that was ever practically destroyed and scattered, as the Bible said, to the four corners of the earth. But has now been regathered in a singular place, in the place of Israel, with their capital as Jerusalem, as one people, one nation, one flag, one currency. God has regathered them. Prophet said, as the tender hand of Jehovah throughout the wars and so forth, the persecution to bring them back into their homeland. There's never been a nation that was ever dispersed and scattered that has been regathered and brought back together. And Jesus said, "Learn a parable of the fig tree, because when its branch starts putting forth leaves," he said, "you know summer is nigh. Likewise, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, even at the doors." He said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's what he said. I mean, I can say, I cannot add to that. I cannot take away from that. All I can say is Jesus said that the generation that sees these things happening, and he's speaking of the regathering of Israel, and Israel becoming something again, right? A tree putting forth leaves again. It was though as dead, Ezekiel had the vision of the valley of dry bones, but the Spirit of the Lord, he saw the Spirit of the Lord come upon those bones, and they rose up and became a mighty army. We've seen it happening in our day. We know. If we didn't know anything else and all we did was read that, we can see the time that we live in. Amen. You can calculate, you can recalculate whatever, but Israel became a nation in 1948. This year is 2018. That's 69 years. He said, this generation, what is a generation? Answer the question yourself. Is it 80? Is it 70? Is it 120? What is it? I don't know. But he said, this generation shall not pass. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Do we believe it or do we not believe it?
I believe it.
I believe I'm living in the end time. I believe I'm living in the time of the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Denominations believe it. You talk to many people, they say, oh yeah, it's the end time, it's the end time. But there's a way that seemeth right, but there's a way of death, but there is a way that is right. Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. But God has given us light today to understand the Word of God. It's as simply put as Peter's prescription, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you must be born again.
Yes.
How is a man born to enter back into his mother's belly and be reborn? He said, no, except a man be born of water and of spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Very simple. Just surrender your life to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to come into full obedience to the Word of God. I want to be baptized in your name. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be watching and waiting and ready for your coming. Simply put. But search, you can go you could probably go to just about every other church in this city and you won't hear them preach the baptism of Jesus' name. But you can search the Bible and you won't find one place where man or woman was ever baptized in any other name. So why would it be that in the darkest time, and men and denominations and all sorts of people understand that we're living in the end time, why would it be that all of these people would not have an understanding of the Word of God, even as simple as baptism in the name of Jesus Christ? If you were the devil and you were trying to keep people out of heaven, what would you do? You would take the truth that they think they have and you would just add a little bit of falseness to it so that it would be like light, but it's not really light. It would be like that day where Zechariah said there'll be a day that's neither day nor night, but it'll be a deceptive day. A day where people think that they're actually found the way, but they're actually distracted onto another way. But God has given us a way. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said. These are they that testify of me. These are the words of eternal life. Praise the Lord. We don't need another book of Mormon. We don't need a man's interpretation. But the Bible says the Lord God would do nothing but what He revealeth to His servants, the prophets. And the Bible says that if a man, when he says something, if it comes to pass, believe that man. God has sent a prophet in this day. And you know, when he was alive, they would never stand against him. They were afraid in Chicago when he stood up there and he said, bring your Bible and prove to me something other than the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, the oneness of the Godhead. All those preachers wouldn't stand next to him because they knew that God was with that man, that God had vindicated that man's ministry. Amen. When the prophet Elijah came and he called fire from heaven and fell on the sacrifice on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal scattered. Why? Because this man's God could speak in supernatural ways. The children of Israel, when they crossed the river Jordan and went into the land of Jericho, the two spies went. Rahab the harlot was inside the city. And the Bible says that she was converted, she was saved, but what was it? She had heard that the God of Israel had opened the Red Sea. The God of Israel had done supernatural things, and when she saw those supernatural things happening, she realized, there must be something about this. You know what? I don't understand everything, and I will never understand everything, but all I know is that God is real, and God, His Word is the truth, and heaven and earth is going to pass away, but I just want to hold on to what God's given me. Praise the Lord. There was a little boy in a storm and the storm was great and all night long he was holding on to a rock. When it was all over, they asked him, they said, weren't you scared? Weren't you afraid? Did you quiver? Did you shake? He said, yes, yes, yes. But the rock didn't move. We have a rock. The Old Testament says their rock is not like our rock. Our rock is God. He's the rock of ages. He's the rock that Daniel saw hewn out of the mountain that came rolling down through Babylon. Amen. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of ages. He's the everlasting Father. Look to Him. Hold to Him. Trust Him in this day. He'll be your light. He'll be your guide. He is that light, and He'll make you the light of your world. Amen. Praise be to God. Redeem the time. Saints, we know the time we live in. We know it's an end time. We know it's a late time. But the Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Amen. Jesus said, I will come again. The thief comes. John 10, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen. You know, there was a man that was prospecting gold. And the prophet gave the story. And he went up into the mountains and he found his claim. He staked his claim and he got this gold and he put it in his camel bag, in his horse bags, and he started heading back towards the city to cash in his prize. And as he was coming back, he found a little cabin in the woods, and he thought, well, I'll just lay down here and rest for the night, and tomorrow I'll be a rich man. And so he laid down there at night, and he had a little dog, and in the middle of the night, his dog began to bark. And so he thought, man, if the dog would just leave me alone, I don't even need that dog. I can have as many dogs as I want. I can have the best breed, whatever I want. Tomorrow, I'll be a rich man. He walked out the door and he told his dog, he said, be quiet. You know, I'm trying to sleep. Leave me alone. Let me enjoy this peaceful night. So he went back to bed and he laid down, and the dog began to bark and bark again. He walked out. Same thing. He said, be quiet. Leave me alone. I'm just trying to sleep. What he didn't know was that as he had traveled back through the woods that night, and as he went into his cabin, there was a man that was following him, his path, and tracking and marking his steps. And when he laid down, the man came, and he was looking and watching. So the dog started to bark again in the night, and the man walked out and he said, you know what? I'm going to silence this voice once and for all. And he pulled his gun and he shot the dog, and he went and he laid down. The thief opened the door, came into the cabin, and took the man's life. You know, that's like us. We can see the time that we live. And the Bible says in the last days there'd come scoffers. Where is the promise of His coming? But Jesus said, I will come again. I will come again. So if we believe His word, if we believe the same promise that He gave to the apostles that was written in this Bible that we can read today, if we believe it, then we'll wrap our heart around it. We'll say, God, I put everything on that. You know, the world says you have to have plan B. If plan A doesn't work out, you got plan B as backup. But God has one plan. It's the plan of salvation. And you don't need any backup plan. He's got it right here. Place everything upon it. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. It's an anchor that you can anchor your life to it. You can anchor your life upon the word of God. You know, and it's like you hear that voice and you think, someday I'll get things right. I'll fix it up. I'll make it right. But the Bible says that we know the time. It said today is the day of salvation. Amen. Romans chapter 13. He said here, and knowing the time, verse 11, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Oh, praise the Lord. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness. But people that are drunk, they don't know which way they're going. They stumble, they fall. The Bible said that when they walk in darkness, they don't know which way they're going. But God said if we walk in the light, amen, we can have an understanding. We can walk in a way of truth. He said, not in drunkenness, nor chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I read this morning that quote from that man, Oscar Wilde. He said, the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. But here the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. Cast off the works of darkness. You know, back in Kentucky, we have a race every year. It's in the first weekend in May. They have a race called the Kentucky Derby, and it's a horse race. And the horses, they have to run around the track four times. And it's a quarter mile track, I believe it is. So when they come down to that end, that last lap, they're coming around that last bend, coming down to the wire, they just put everything into it, right? And then, and in the human body, when you're in a situation that is an emergency situation, your body releases a chemical called epinephrine. Some people call it adrenaline. And what it does is it shuts off the non-essential functions of the body, and it heightens the senses and muscles of the body that you need to react and get through that situation. And when we're living in the darkest time, that we're coming down to the end of the wire, coming down to the end of the road, the Bible says to cast off the works of darkness. Paul said it like this in Hebrews chapter 12. He said in Hebrews 12 verse 1, he said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul said, lay aside every weight. Hey man, when the hot air balloon is going to ascend up into the sky, they have to throw the weights out and it begins to ascend. And we've come to a place in our life where the coming of the Lord is so near, but yet it's the darkest hour. And the Bible says that we must lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. I was talking to Brother Howard, it's like every day that passes, that day becomes more important than the day before. Why? Because it gets darker and darker in this world every single day. And if we're going to make it, that we have to press into the kingdom of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said here, to forget those things which are behind. You know, so many times we dwell in the past. We dwell in the failures of the past. We dwell in the successes of the past. We look to the past. But you know what? Forget about it. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. But Lord, help me to take one day at a time. Lord, this is the day of salvation. He said there in Lamentations, when he spoke there of the tribe, I believe it was of the tribe of Dan, he said that as the days are, so shall thy strength be. Lord, help me today to just live today, to do what you want me today, Lord. The devil will try to get you to live in tomorrow or to live into yesterday. But God wants you to take the time that you have today and make it valuable to His kingdom. Amen. Say, Lord, show me today what I need to do today. Give me strength for today. Help me to live in today. Paul said, I press toward forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. God wants us to just walk with Him, to seek Him daily. If there was ever a time that our life should be a fulfillment of Psalm 42, which said, as David, as the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You know, we spoke about the illustration to walk through the door, that God's got a place. We can grow stagnant in our Christian walk. You can take a river that's flowing down, and just a little shoot that comes off the river, a little pond here of water that can get stagnant, but the river is flowing. God has a river. It's a river of life. It's not a river of death. And He wants you to be in that river of life. Satan will try to distract you. But Paul said in one place that you might attend unto the Lord without distraction. We're living in a day where the devil's trying to distract us. There's never been a time I know we've said that never been a time, but this is a time that has never been known to man like ever before. But there's never been a time where we've had such advancements in technology and distractions. When you drive down the road, you see all sorts of things along the road distracting you. You can pull up, you know, if you look on a phone and you say you're looking on something on the internet and you just see advertisement here all around, all these different thoughts that Satan is trying to catch you with a thought here, catch you with a thought there. You can look and open up an email and every one might be some different subject. What is it? The devil trying to get your mind going this direction. And then, wait a minute, no, bring it over here. And then take it over here. And you ever talk to somebody and it's just like the conversation went 500,000 ways in 10 seconds. That's what the devil's trying to do. Trying to get us all distracted. You know what? Communication is one person talking to another. One thought being transferred. And then another thought being transferred back. But there's something that can come in the way. And if you say you turn on, me and Brother Howard are talking, and then we turn on a loud fan and we put it right here in the middle. And then he has to begin to scream for me to hear his voice. Why? Because there's a distraction in the way. God wants us to remove the distractions so we can clearly hear his voice in this day. It's not that God doesn't still speak. It's just that there's so much noise in our life that we can't hear the voice of God. I think of the prophet Samuel. And the Bible says that in those days when he was just a child, that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. You know, Eli was the high priest and he kind of got distracted. The sacrifice sort of became common to him. But when God spoke to Samuel, just a little child, laying in the bed there in the temple with the prophet or with the high priest Eli, God called out, "Samuel, Samuel." And God spoke to Samuel as a little child. Sometimes we just have to become like a little child all over again and say, "Lord, all the things that I knew or thought I knew, just take it. Let me know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let me fall in love with you, Lord, all over again. Let me know you like never before. Let me hear your tender voice saying, 'Let me come in,' and I will willingly open the door." In the book of Revelation chapter 3, we read about it in the last church age of Laodicea, that the condition that people would be naked and not know it and so forth. But in all of that, the Bible says that, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man or any individual hear my voice, let him open the door and I will come in and sup with him." After Jesus resurrected from the grave and Mary came and those that came to the tomb and they saw that he wasn't there, and the angel said that, "Did you not know that he would rise? He said he would rise on the third day." And so they left and they told certain disciples that what they had experienced. And then there were two men. This is the only instance that I know of reading about these two men. One's name was Cleopas and the other was his friend. And we don't really read much more about these two men. We don't know what Cleopas did in his life, if he went on to become a missionary or what he was. But all we read about is that I know of is just this instance that these two men were walking on a road to a place called Emmaus. And as they were walking on this road and they were talking about the things that had been happening in their day, how that Jesus Christ was crucified and what the women had come and told them, that they went to the tomb and he wasn't there, and they were troubled in their hearts. And they were lacking some understanding and understanding of what was going on. And the Bible says that Christ came and he began to walk with these men. And they didn't know who he was. But as he walked with them down the road, he began to, the Bible says he began to expound all of the scriptures concerning himself. And then they got to a certain place on the road and it became the evening. And they went into a house and they said, "Would you come in?" And Jesus acted like, "No, I'm just going to go on." But they said, "No, come on in, come on in." And so he came in and he sat down with them. And you know, when he sat down, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to them. And the Bible says their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew who he was. And then he vanished out of their sight. One of these days, there's going to be a group of people that a saint's going to appear. And then our eyes will be opened. We'll recognize, wait a minute, Lord, what's going on? And we'll see it. And they'll vanish. And something will sweep and there'll be a body change. Just as he came the first time, he's going to come again the second time. And they said, how our hearts did burn within us as he spoke to us along the way. I say, Lord, tonight my heart is burning inside of me. And I just feel like those two men, we don't know much about their life. It really doesn't matter. All we know is that Christ came to them. He spoke to them and their hearts burned within them. They invited him in. They had fellowship and communion. Lord, that's enough for me. I've heard your word. I realize, Lord, that you are knocking on my heart's door and you want to have fellowship with me. Lord, I bid you come in tonight. Come into my heart. Give me fellowship with you, Lord, like I've never had before. Let my heart burn, oh God. You know, the greatest of man, no man is great. There's one great, like we heard this morning, that's Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there when Daniel saw those things in the books that were written and the time that he was living in, just turn back there to Daniel chapter 9 again, I'll read it. But where he understood by the books the number of the years whereof the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. He said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Daniel began to seek the Lord when he saw the time that he lived and the hour that he lived. God has a place. The Bible says that if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. What a wonderful thing. The prophet said, how do we get closer to God? But we read our Bible and pray. We feed on the things of God. The devil trying to take our time, distract our time, but we can draw closer to God in this day. I challenge you this evening. Peter said, what manner of persons ought we to be? Back to Peter there in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, be ye diligent. He said here in verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? What manner of people ought we to be? We see the time and the hour that we live. And we see that what the Bible says, that some will be alive and remain. The dead in Christ shall rise first, but there will be someone that fulfill these scriptures. All I can say tonight is that if God is drawing your heart, just come closer to him. Say, Lord, I just want to draw closer to you. In the day that we live, you have to take time to pray. Take time to seek the Lord. Take time in the busy life that we live. You know, Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. The world that we live, we work on our jobs and you know, the things that we have to do, it's all vanity. What are our years? What are our days? We, you know, as a young child, you grow up, you start school, then you want to graduate school, and then you want to get your first car, and you want to graduate university, and you want to get a job, and you want to get married, and you want to have children, and you want to do all these things, and finally, you become a grandparent, and then you're on your way, and you know, you finally end up in a grave somewhere. What is life? The Bible says it's just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. But God wants to have fellowship with you. God wants you to have eternal life. God wants to use you in this day, in this hour, for His purpose. He's got a purpose for each and every one of us. You know, and God wants to fulfill that purpose in our lives. How can we know what that purpose is but to seek Him more? To spend more time in prayer. You know, prayer is our greatest weapon. It's your time to communicate with God and God to communicate with you. I pray that the Lord would challenge your heart tonight, that you would seek Him more. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." God has a deeper place for us to walk with Him. We know there's nothing we can do to earn our own salvation, but God wants to have fellowship with us. God wants to speak with us and talk to us. And you know, in the book of Luke chapter 2, there was a man named Simeon. And he was waiting. The Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And when Jesus came in with Mary and Joseph, and he came into the temple, and Mary and Joseph brought him into the temple, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and God led him to the Christ child, and he saw Christ come in the flesh, and he said, God led him to Jesus Christ. I believe that there will be a people in this hour and this time where God will show us. He will lead us. He will guide us. And when the Lord comes and He appears, God will let us see Him. We'll experience that body change. I want to be one of those. I don't want to miss it. Lord, help us to be ready. Let's redeem the time. Let's take our time and serve the Lord with that time. We don't know what time that our life will be called. We don't know how much time we have left. But all we know is that there's just a little bit of time left. Like we read this morning, the devil knows there's a short time. Let's seek the Lord more and draw closer to Him. You know, just to share from my heart now, just as we close, but, and, you know, when Brother Howard came to America here a year or two ago, he shared with us about something in his life about, and forgive me for sharing, I don't know if this is all right to share. But it just said that every morning he has an appointment with the Lord. And he wakes up every morning and he gets down on his knees and he has an appointment with the Lord. That really stirred my heart. Because we can get caught up in the day-to-day motions of life and never really take time. Yeah, you can pray, Lord, I lay me down to sleep, and pray over your food and so forth. But we should take time to really seek the Lord, even if it's even whatever time you have, but just from your heart, really talk to God and let Him talk to you. And He said, if you draw near, He'll draw near. And so I just say by the grace of the Lord that really challenged me as an individual to take time. You know, And recently I got married. March the 5th of 2016. And I realized that, you know, when you're single, you have what seemed like all the time in the world. Seems like it. Because later on in life, then things come in and you realize, wow, I don't have as much time as I used to have. And I just realized it's like, you know, like the Bible says, a man that's married, he's caring for the things of his wife and so forth. But God wants to have fellowship. And the Bible says that there will be two in the bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two in the field, one will be taken, the other left. And God calls individuals. God deals with an individual heart. We read about Enoch. The Bible says that he was not, for God took him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Brother Branham talks about in the message, perfect faith, that we can walk in a world with God alone. Though the noise of the world be going all around us, but we can be like David and just say, Lord, as the deer panteth, my desire, my heart's desire is to know you more, to seek you more, to live in your presence, to walk in your spirit. And so I just encourage you that when you take that time to seek the Lord, the presence of the Lord will come and God will begin to draw you closer to Him. And it's just a wonderful thing. In the book of Samuel, it said the words of the Lord were precious in those days. God will make His Word so precious to you that when you read it, how that, like we read this morning, He became poor that we might become rich. It just brings tears to your eyes. It just, the Holy Spirit begins to move and God just draws you and you have a communion with the Lord. That's what God wants to have with His people, is communion. He said, open the door. He said, I will come in and sup with you and He with me. In Colossians 3, I'll just leave this verse with you as we close this evening. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Set your affections on things above. So we were speaking this morning to keep our eyes on Christ. Set your affections. What is the affections? It's your desire. It's when you wake up in the morning, you know, you can have all these thoughts about the day and I need to do this and I need to do that. But let God be the first in your life and say, Lord, I just want to get down on my knees. I want to thank You for the day that You've given me, Lord. I want to thank You, Lord, that You give me breath to breathe. You give me food to eat, clothes to wear. I want to thank You, Lord, that You've given me this day that I can live for You. I can serve You. Lord, I want to praise You. I want to thank You, Lord, that You died on the cross for my sins. And the Bible says that in everything give thanks. And just set your affection on the Lord. Say, Lord, it's in You that I live and I move and I have my being. Lord, You're everything to me. Lord, lead me and guide me today. You said You'd be my shepherd, Lord. Lead me in the places You'd want me to go. Lord, let me talk to the people You want me to talk to today, Lord. Let me do the things You want me to do today, Lord. And Lord, when the enemy comes in the hour of temptation, Lord, give me strength. You said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The prophet said He makes the Word of God more positive. The Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You. So in the mornings, Lord, I open Your Word. Even if it's just one scripture, sometimes we think that, oh, I need to read a whole chapter, or I need to read three chapters, or I need to do all just one Word of God. Say, Lord, just make this scripture real to me today. Meditate on the Lord. David said he meditated on God and he called upon His name in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And live in that presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to walk in Your light. I want to live in the light. Feed upon the Word of God. When you have an opportunity, turn on a message of God's prophet. It's so prevalent. We have little devices called phones that we can push button and straight away we can be hearing the prophet of God. We can hear it. We can read it. God has given us ample opportunity to hear His voice. But so many times we choose to turn it off, to tune it out, to push it away, to do the things that we think are more important. You remember Mary and Martha? How Jesus told, I believe it was He told Mary, was it, that He said that the other one, she had found that goodly part. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what Jesus had to say. The other one was concerned about the dinner and concerned about preparing all the things. But even though we have to do things in our daily life, but let our affection be set on things above. Set my affection on things above. Is that your desire tonight? With our heads bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God tonight, Lord. Help us to redeem the time, Lord. We see the evil and the darkness that we live in, Lord, but you said in the evening time there shall be light. Help us to walk in that light as you're in the light, Lord. You said if we walk in the light as you're in the light, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and we have fellowship one with another. Lord, you said, Lord, not to be weary in well-doing, but in due season we should reap if we faint not. In an hour when so many are fainting, Lord, we sing the song that, Lord, sometimes we feel tired and weary. But in an hour when many are fainting, Lord, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Give us renewed strength tonight, Lord. Give us a renewed vision of you tonight, Lord. Calibrate our thoughts upon you tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to lay aside every weight and the sin which easily beset us. And just walk with you, Lord. Run the race. Because we know that the end is near. Heavenly Father, maybe there's someone here this evening that has been distracted in their journey. Lord, like Pilgrim as he walked along the path to the celestial city, Lord. And there was that city called Vanity Fair, and the devil tried to lure him into the vanities of the world. But there was one that was named Faithful, who was a faithful witness. And Lord, tonight you sent your faithfulness, your word, which is always faithful, God. And the Faithful preached unto Pilgrim, and he said, Pilgrim, look, keep your eyes on the city that's coming. Oh God, he got back on the right track. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's gotten off on the wrong road. But Lord, you would bring them back on the right road tonight, Lord. And as the sisters sang the song, their feet would be established on the way that is true and the way that is right. For straight is the way and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Oh God, that there are few here tonight, Lord, that are seeking after you, that are searching after you, Lord. God, help us to walk in that way as you're in the way, Lord. Oh, help us to walk in the way of truth tonight, Lord. Father, if there's someone here that's been distracted, been lured off in another direction, Lord, may they come into the line, the light, the path of your word tonight, Lord. As you simply told us, Lord, to repent, Lord, tonight we ask you to forgive us where we've fallen short of your glory. We ask you to, Lord, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation, Lord. Renew the joy of the Lord in our life tonight, Lord. Fill us again with the power of the Holy Ghost. Let us fall in love with you like never before. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Just a closer walk with you, Lord. Grant it, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Though the world around us is seeking after other things, but may we seek after God. If that's your desire tonight, and you feel a stirring in your heart that you want to seek after the Lord like never before, you see that the Lord is coming soon. And you want more of God in your life. The Bible says where there's a deep call, there is a deep to respond. If God has put a desire in you for more of Him, then God has more of Himself to give to you tonight. If that is you and your desire tonight, I wonder if you could just come forward and stand up here around this altar tonight and say, Lord, it's my desire to draw closer to you. And you'd come forward this evening so that we can pray together. You know, when God called his disciples, sometimes he called one and they had to come out. Maybe their family member wasn't serving God, but they felt the call and they had to go. When God called Abraham, He said, come out from among them, Abraham. Come out from among your family. Come on, Abraham, I'm going to take you on a journey. And Abraham got up and he walked with God. And God began to reveal Himself to Abraham. If you feel God drawing you tonight, and you'd say, Lord, I just want to walk with You, Lord. I want to know You like never before. I want to follow the path of the Scriptures. I want to have that intimate relationship with You, Lord. He said, I will be your God and you shall be my people. He said, I will manifest myself to you. He will reveal Himself like He did to those two men on the road to Emmaus. And they knew Him. Oh, others were walking down roads that day, but there was one road and there was two men that God appeared to. And there's many churches in this city, but here tonight, God is speaking and you feel the drawing of God in your heart and you say, Lord, I respond to that tonight and I just want to walk with You closer tonight, Lord. And you've come here this evening to respond to that call. Hallelujah. Now let's just join hands. If there's a sister next to you, or a sister to a sister, or a brother to a brother, and you join hands with someone this evening, and let's pray together that God will strengthen you tonight, that God will give you a closer walk with Him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pray together this evening, Lord, as we reach over, and maybe you're sitting there in the pew and you didn't feel to come forward, but you just reach over and take someone by the hand and say, Lord God, I agree with my brother, with my sister tonight, Lord. God, I know that we're living in a dark day. But Lord, tonight we felt a drawing of the Holy Spirit. And that voice is speaking to us saying, come up higher. Walk on with me. Walk with me on this pathway. Walk with me on this straight and narrow way. Have fellowship with me. Lord, You're calling us to a closer walk with You this evening to redeem the time. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that You'll strengthen my brother, strengthen my sister tonight, Lord, to walk closer to You. Lord, maybe we've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, but after tonight, we say, Lord, take me to the water. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to receive full Bible salvation. Maybe we've never received the Holy Ghost, and we just say tonight, Lord, I want to draw near to You. You said You'd give the Holy Spirit to them that obey You. Lord, I obey Your voice tonight, Lord. I just give You all my life. I surrender to You. Just even now as we're praying, just say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Lord, all to You I freely give. Lord, may I ever love and trust You in Your presence daily live. Lord, I give it all to You tonight, Lord. Let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without You, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Without You, I can do nothing. Without You, I'd just be lost, Lord. Oh God, but tonight You've come to show us that You want to have fellowship with us, Lord. Take us to that place of a closer walk with You this evening, Lord. As the song says, take time to pray. And as you're heading home, He'll show you the way. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, You said You'd be our guide. You'd be our shepherd. You'd lead us and guide us beside still waters. You'd restore our soul. Yea, that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You said, I will be with thee. My rod and staff will comfort thee. Oh God, in the presence of our enemies, You'd anoint our head with oil. You prepared a table before us, oh God. You make our cup to overflow. We thank You for these precious promises. Lord, may You strengthen each and every one of us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn to that brother or sister next to you and say, God bless you. God bless you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. Oh, God bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Closer walk with thee. Let's stand and sing it. Great in Jesus is my plea. Daily walking.
Lord, bend my feet on high.
Lord, just plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. We can never achieve or attain all of the knowledge of God, the glory of God. So we know by that there's constantly a closer place that we can live with Him. There's constantly more of Him that He can reveal to us. There's constantly a greater portion of God to be had in our life. There's constantly a closer place that we can walk with Him. There's constantly a richer light that can shine on our life. There's constantly a greater power of God to be known to us. Amen. By faith, lift me up, Lord, to that higher place. My heart has no desire for this world. You say, tonight, Lord, my desire is for God. Oh, God, my desire is for more of You. I trust God has challenged you tonight. Say, Lord, I want to draw closer to You. I want to walk closer to You. I want to live more for You, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, praise be to God. I trust that there's someone here that you hadn't been baptized. Get a hold of the pastor. He'll take you down in the water. And I trust that when you go home tonight, you'll get down on your knees and you'll say, Lord, just a closer walk with You. When you wake up in the morning, Lord, just a closer walk with You. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the pastor, not the player, but it's me, oh Lord. Lord, I just want to draw closer to You. And when you come back to the next service, your heart, the Bible says, their hearts were burning within them. Why? Because not just on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, but throughout the week, they were walking with Him. They were talking to Him. And their hearts were burning. And when they came into the house of God, they were sharing the glory of God. They were worshiping God. They were praising God. Amen. Where is the power of God? We should be ignited by the power of God in this day. Oh, hallelujah. What great thing God has done in our day. It should ignite our soul. Praise God. The devil's tried to steal our joy, but God can restore it to us. Amen. Just seek Him. Take this scripture. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Just by opening the Word and just reading one verse, one word, you're drawing near to Him. Just by saying, Lord, I love You, you're drawing near to Him. You may not know anything. You just say, Lord, all I know is that I want more of You. You can just, in your heart, just that desire. And you're drawing near to Him and He comes close to you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated and I turn it over. I just had one song I wanted to leave with you, Brother Howard, that one we practiced. And I just trust that it's been an encouragement to be here today. It sure has been a blessing to speak to you. This little song, I think we did it in the key of C. Just want to leave this with you. Amen. I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. I won't walk without Jesus, I won't talk. Without Jesus, I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. Don't go without Him. Don't leave the house without praying. Don't go to bed at night without getting down on your knees and thanking Him for the day. Just let the Lord be first in your life. Amen. God bless you this evening, Brother Howard.
Brother Thaddeus, you know, it really gets down, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You've got to hunger and thirst. It's not, oh, I'll give it a go. That won't work. You really want to, if you really want God, he will come to you. Those that thirst for him shall find him. Seek and ye shall find. So I really appreciate our brother's word this morning and this afternoon, and I just pray that the word of God will find a resting place in your heart and will produce something in your life. It's nothing to do with this church or anything like that. It's if God's speaking to you. If he's speaking to you, then he can help you. And the reason you have a desire for God this afternoon is because God is calling you. If God is calling you, you'll have that desire there. So I really pray that what has been said will not fall to the ground, but will go into good ground, into a good ground, and bring forth the life of Jesus Christ. So I really appreciate you coming, brother. You have to come back again. Who'd like our brother to come back again? He's not far away. And, it's really good. And I'm sure you'd enjoy their fellowship back there in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been there quite a few times, and I've always been really blessed being there. They're hungry people. They love the Lord. And we just pray that he'll continue to be with us. So we're just going to pray now and ask the Lord to go with us. Cause each one of you to draw nigh unto him. So let us just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this afternoon, Lord. We just love you with all our hearts. We know you're calling us, for we feel a call in our hearts, Lord. And you said, no man cometh unto me except my Father draw him. So, Lord, if we feel the drawing power this afternoon, Lord, we know that you want us to a better place, closer walk, as we've been singing, Lord, a closer walk with thee. And I pray, Lord Jesus, each one of us will really seek after you. We won't be caught up in this world or the glamour and or any of those things around us, Lord. But our hearts will be fixed and we'll turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full into his wonderful face. The things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So, Lord, may the word of God bring forth good fruit. Lord, for this day, Lord, I pray that hearts will be drawn closer to you, and may the devil not rob it out of their hearts, but, Lord, it will remain in there. We plead the blood of Jesus against Satan, against his evil forces that would try to distract us, to take us away from God. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we'll draw closer to you. We appreciate our brother coming, Lord. We pray that you would bless him and strengthen him and be with him and his little family, Lord. Take him back safely to America. And, Lord, I just pray you'll continue to use him for your glory. We love you, Lord. We do know, Lord, the time is at hand. We need to be redeeming the time, for the days are very evil. Lord, may we not take things lightly, but be serious about seeking your face. I commit each one of these people into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. Brother Thaddeus, you might just like to go to the door there and just say goodbye to everybody. And if we don't see you again, we'll see you in glory. Till we meet. Let's sing that, till we meet again, Kirby.
Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. We meet.
time, fellowship. We love to get together and just worship our Lord. So just feel free in the Lord, my brother and sister. We sing this once more. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Together. What a glorious hope that is. God be with you. Amen.